And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, giving you all the truth you can put on a bumper sticker. So, listen, before I go any further, I gotta pause here and just remind you guys. So, like, for the last month or so, I've been introducing you to one of our newest sponsors, Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. Look, did you know that some of the things you might be investing in, things in your retirement portfolio or whatever, that they may be things that are just absolutely not aligned with your biblical values? I mean, your investment dollars could be going to things that support abortion or pornography or human trafficking or any number of things that you would like never want to be involved in. Well, listen, you might want to meet Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. They are a specialist in the field of what is referred to as biblically responsible investing, BRI. So Paul and the folks at Inspire Advisors, they would love to sit down with you personally, like in person, sit with you for free, no strings attached, just a consultation to help you see what's in your portfolio. They'll show you, they'll do a free impact report, and then they'll even give you some ideas for biblically aligned alternatives in the event that you want to think about it. So the bottom line is this. There is no cost. There is no obligation. You can check them out in advance if you want to and then ask for a meeting. Go to their website, Inspire Advisors. You can find them at moneypatternwealth.com, moneypatternwealth.com, or just go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Go to our Right Side Radio tab on the website. Click on sponsors and go to their logo. It takes you right to their website. So Inspire Advisors, y'all. Inspire Advisors. It is solid. It is conservative. It is godly. It is balanced. It's financial freedom with Inspire Advisors. Check them out. All right, we're going to be changing topics. And I got some text messages that I'll catch up on here in a bit. But why do we believe what we believe? Now think about that. This is a conservative talk show. I do not make any bones about it. I mean, I'm not out here designed to be the objective media. Now, I'll tell you the news, and sometimes I'll tell you the things I don't like, but I'll tell you why I don't like it, because this is designed to be a conservative opinion opportunity right here. This show is. My goal, every single day I talk about the mission and the message. I may not say it that way, but that's what I'm doing. It's mission and message for me. And the mission is that every single day it's the four E's. I'm going to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you on what it means to be a conservative walking around in today's crazy world. But that's the mission. And the mission is driven by the message. And the message is, I want you to hear it on the show all the time, that I believe that Jesus is Lord, America's great, Alabama is beautiful, and oh, by the way, life's worth living. All that wrapped up means that sometimes you got to stop and take account of why you believe what you believe. Do you know why you're a conservative? If you were in the elevator and someone looked at you and saw some shirt you were wearing and said, oh, you're one of those conservatives, why do you believe what you believe? Could you, between the first floor and the 10th floor, could you give them a quick rundown? What do you stand for? How do you explain it? If you were caught in that moment, it's just like your faith, right? Is it 1 Peter 3:15? I think I said it yesterday too. I better start making sure I got it right. I think it's 1 Peter 3:15 that says we should be ready at all times to give an accounting for the things that we believe and do so with gentleness and respect. Yes, you should. That's faith, but I would say that's also wisdom. And so how about you do it for everything you say you believe in? So Congressman Mike Johnson, before he was Speaker of the House, he's a constitutionalist. He's one of those guys who, as an attorney, he had worked for, I believe, for Alliance Defending Freedom, which is one of the great organizations that does, you know, so much stuff for defending liberty. And Congressman Mike Johnson, he put out this thing called the seven core principles of conservatism. And I believe it. They are things like, and here's the seven principles he lists: individual freedom, limited government, the rule of law, peace through strength, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and human dignity. Y'all, I could do one of these a day. I could do a whole monologue on each one of those. Today, though, we're going to focus a little bit on limited government. The idea that liberty is championed and made stronger by government being made smaller. Because we believe that a decentralized authority, like the elimination, if you will, of unnecessary regulations and bureaucracy, that that's how you help make sure that government serves the people and not the people just serving the government. So in a minute here with Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute, which stands in part, their work is on the idea of limited government. We're going to have a conversation, but I want you guys to know this is not just a thing like, well, it would be nice if government was smaller and didn't have as much opportunity to tax me and regulatory burdens and things like that. No, that's a principle of conservatism. That's one of the things that we say we stand for. And if you're going to say you stand for something, then you got to be able to understand and then communicate why it is you believe what you believe. Could you do it if you got on the elevator and you had from the first floor to the 10th floor to give an accounting for why you think you're a conservative? Could you do it? Well, let's take a piece of it. Limited government. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. All right, somebody who has not been on the show in a bit is our good friend Stephanie Smith, who's the president of the Alabama Policy Institute, with a long history of working in state politics and really in politics in general and on matters of conservative policy. Stephanie's just doing a bang-up job, and she is at the Alabama Policy Institute, like I said, and she's on the line right now. Stephanie Smith, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. I'm doing well. It's good. It's good to be back in town and good to be back on with you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Hey, by the way, I remember last time we talked, you guys had been nominated for an award at API. Has that gone down yet? Do we know what's going on?
We don't yet. It's in August in Phoenix. Okay. When that will be officially announced. And I'm looking forward to that trip. It's a state policy network annual meeting, and we will be talking about that award in mid-August. So.
All right. Well, I look forward to hearing more. I think you're a shoo-in. I say go for it, but I don't have a vote, but I'm biased.
Yeah.
Hey, let me just dive right into topic. So yesterday on the show, I had a conversation with State Senator Sam Gavan. There is legislation being floated again. I know you're familiar with it, that would allow when and we don't know what the metrics are yet, but when local policing is not getting it done, that state right. would somehow intervene. And I think there's a lot to be unpacked about how they would even do it, what the logistics would be. But then there's the overarching principle. And I told Senator Gavan this on the air. I get a little my hackles, kind of my red flags go up with regards to big government. Give me your thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, similarly, you know, when I read about things like this, I see the argument, because I do see that in a lot of urban areas, state of Alabama especially, but even some rural areas in different issues, there is a lawlessness that's happening. We see what's happening across the country where, you know, in certain jurisdictions, they're not even enforcing certain laws. We do have a few cities in the state of Alabama who have declared themselves sanctuary cities for reason or another. And so there's this kind of aura of lawlessness that's pretty frustrating for those of us who are kind of law and order people. But I'm not sure this is the best tactic. And so what raises your red flag is probably exactly what raises my red flag, which is I think that the intentions are good here. But this is not a limited government principle.
No.
Limited government means small government, and it also means bottom-up government. And so the accountability for governmental entities lies with the people first. And really only, from my estimation. And so when you every time you take the accountability a step away from the people, then you are usually growing government, but you're also making it less accountable to the people who have votes to make a change. And so if you have a city that is having inadequate law enforcement, which routinely happens, nationwide, but is starting to happen here in the state of Alabama, that is really concerning. And you know, if you're somebody who lives there and you have a family there and you have a business there, you know, all of those things are super concerning. So don't hear me say that no one cares, because I do think that people care.
Right.
It's just that this answer seems to be, we will take you over. And the "we will take you over" is where it gets a little sideways with me. And I'm assuming it's the same with you.
Well, it is. And, you know, and at the same time, I do know that when a school district is failing, the state can intervene. That's already state mm-hmm. law now. And I distinctly recall, and I think Senator Graham brought this up too yesterday, when I was in the state mm-hmm. Senate, that there was talk of Birmingham trying to do its own version of localized minimum wage. And we stepped in as a legislature and said, no, it's going to be that's uh-huh. reserved to the state. So I mm-hmm. I see times when I get it, but so what's the fine line here? In your opinion, what would the fine line be on why not this one, but yet other things could be?
Right. And I mean, I will say that law and order and public safety, I would say that both of us would probably argue is, you know, right up there of what government ought to do. And so it's difficult to say on the one hand, well, you know, if your schools are failing, we're gonna take you over. But if people are dying in the street, that's up to the local jurisdiction. So I do get that argument. The problem for me is a philosophical one, which isn't always practical. But the philosophical problem is, look, we're mainly talking about Montgomery here. Right now. And so the representatives that are pushing this, the reaction to the reaction of Mayor Stephen Reed in Montgomery, basically blaming the uptick in crime and gun crime specifically in Montgomery on a law that has nothing to do with gun crime in Montgomery, which is, you know, concealed carry. And so that is not what is happening in Montgomery. That is him pointing a finger and trying to blame shift. We know that. But the problem is this. He was just reelected last year.
Yeah.
So if the people of Montgomery had a huge problem with the way he was leading or the way he was hiring or the way his police department was operating, they had an opportunity to oust him last year, and they didn't.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things, you know, when you just look at the structure of government, you kind of get what you pay for sometimes. And it's frustrating, and it has to be frustrating for people who have property and live in the confines of Montgomery. But it also is a situation to where the leadership there was just reelected. And so you end up with what you have.
I'd look at the same thing for Birmingham. I look at the same thing
for
Birmingham. I think that Woodfin's policies are just asinine so often, and he's constantly pointing. At one point a couple of years ago, he was claiming that how dare they pass an abortion, a pro-life bill, and that's going to cause us to lose jobs in Birmingham. Shut up, man. You're losing jobs because of the way you run the city.
right. Well, and I will say the commonality between those two, in my personal opinion, is that they have higher aspirations nationwide.
Yeah.
And they're less worried about their actual job that they're doing on a daily basis and kind of into ladder climbing. And it's frustrating. It's got to be really frustrating for the people involved. But I do not think that the answer is to create basically a takeover of whatever urban system the state wants to take over, or it gets into a personal back and forth between representatives or a personal back and forth between the state legislature and mayors. When things get personal like that, that is not the way our governmental system is supposed to work. It's not, we are supposed to be a nation and a state of laws, not of men. And that's what this feels like, is that it's a little bit of a tit for tat, and the answer cannot be, if I don't like you, I'm going to take you over. That's not the way our system is supposed to work.
No, it's not. And I'll tell you, there's a couple of ironies in here that I find to be just like almost enjoyable. But the first one is that those two individuals we talked about, Randall Woodfin, mayor of Birmingham, Stephen Reed, mayor of Montgomery, they are both big mm-hmm. government Democrats. And yet if they found out that we were going to send the state to take over, they would be opposed to it, even though they are big government people. I think that would be
right.
Just almost hilarious. And then the other is that, dang, here we've got Will Barfoot, who's a pretty decent guy, state senator Will Barfoot, who's
100%.
touting this. And yet he's also got support from State Representative Wandalyn Gavan, of all people, who is like one of the most liberal individuals in the world. Like, she's a freak show liberal. And yet she's actually speaking his language, and she kind of makes sense when she says it. So anyway, it's a debatable thing, but I agree with you. I think big government, this is not where we need to go on this one.
Well, and it's one of those things, and this is easy to say, you know, sitting safely in my office and not living through some of the things that people are living through in Montgomery or downtown Birmingham. But I will say this, it's like I said with school choice, freedom is hard, but freedom is right.
Wow.
And so, you know, will people choose to put their kids in a charter school or, you know, some sort of school that's inadequate or something that I wouldn't personally choose for my kids? Yeah, they will. And that is their choice. That's what school choice is about. And so it's the same thing here, which is, you know, a lot of times people will vote with their feet. And you hate to see that, but it's the way the world works, in that you have a freedom to choose where you live. It is really unfortunate for the people who don't have the freedom and the agency to get out of a bad situation. But freedom is hard, and this kind of situation is one of those instances, in my estimation.
Dang. So if I have T-shirts made that say freedom is hard, but freedom is right, can I?
You have my permission. Absolutely.
Okay. I tell you what I'll do. I will do this. If I have those T-shirts made, which I just wrote it down, to be honest with you. If I have T-shirts made that say that, I may put the little API logo down in the corner. Just to
that sounds good. Or at least send me 5 T-shirts for my boys. That'll be good.
Okay. We'll square y'all away. No worries.
okay. Sounds good.
Well, listen, Stephanie Smith, I know Alabama Policy Institute has a long, great history of standing for limited government. It's one of the principles that y'all is like on your defining charter.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for what you do, and let's stay in touch on this, and we may have more principles of conservatism and call you back in, all right?
That sounds great. I appreciate the time, Phil.
All right. See you, Steph. Yeah, that's listen, what a great – freedom is hard, but freedom is right. You want that T-shirt? I do.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to have to get the merch store beefed up. I can feel some T-shirts brewing.
We need some more slogans.
So, I literally the other day I sat there mindlessly designing a T-shirt that has a picture of a microphone and all the little sayings in like little speech bubbles all around it.
That would be cool.
I think we could do it. But I'm pretty sure that like you got that mug right there. I could see a mug. Are we just talking to each other right now? Hey, everybody. By the way, excuse Big Rig and I while we have an aside. But I just freedom is hard, but freedom is right. I'm going to go with that. Take me to a break, Big Rig, while I plan out how to get coffee mugs and T-shirts made with that phrase right there. All right, you guys, listen, we're going to come back. I got more on this because there's been some things that have happened in recent months that go straight to the question of limited government. Like the Supreme Court weighed in. Oh, yeah, it did, in a big way. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. So let's take this a little bit further. Limited government. Something happened in recent months. You remember this? Supreme Court of the United States got busy. Yeah, it did. Supreme Court of the United States got busy and said, you know what? Enough with all of you overly regulating bodies of government who try to get out there and just create havoc. They did away with what's known as the Chevron defense. Now, some of y'all are tracking this already. We talked about it on the show once before, so if you're already up to speed, just forgive me, but I got to bring everybody up to speed on this one because it's huge. So here's the deal. In 1984, a case was decided that Chevron was one of the parties in. And it dealt with, I believe it dealt with oil drilling and that kind of thing. Anyway, the bottom line is this. In that 1984 case, they birthed the idea or the concept, precedent, if you will, approved by the Supreme Court of what became known as the Chevron defense. What it basically stood for was, if you are an agency of government, and you believe that a statute passed by Congress can be interpreted a certain way and you act upon it, you're automatically deferred to and considered right. What does that mean? All right, we'll take it this way. Title IX. You've heard all the stuff about Title IX being rewritten by the Department of Education. Going to let transgenders participate in women's sports. Awesome. Going to mandate that every school who receives federal dollars has to have transgender bathrooms. Awesome. You know what that is? That's a Chevron defense. They can say, we looked at Title IX. It doesn't say. It doesn't. I mean, we can argue it all day long. It doesn't say women can't be like those who identify as women. So, therefore, we're going to say that transgender should be allowed to participate in women's sports. Really? Yep. That could be protected under the Chevron defense. You got any number of things. Think about the other things that have happened. What does OSHA do when it comes in and finds you? But when was this the law? Well, we interpreted it that way. How about the ATF bump stocks? We've interpreted it to be this. Really? You know, you go on and on and on, and you can find all these different places. And y'all, I could spend an entire week, if I had a book somewhere that gave me all the times that the federal government agencies have just interpreted statutory law to be something. You know what that is? That's referred to as the administrative state. That's when bureaucrats who are not elected look at it and go, you know what? Let's do it. Let's just do this thing. We get a government paycheck. We don't care what happens to those private sector people. And they run out there and they interpret the law a certain way, and the administrative state becomes more burdensome than government was ever intended to be. Technically, they grow government because they grow the regulatory burdens of government. Well, the Supreme Court of the United States of America did away with it. And it was a split. It was a conservative versus liberal ruling, but it came out in what, June? Yeah, it did, in June. The court's six conservative justices, I got this off Federal News Network, the court's six conservative justices overturned the 84 decision, colloquially known as Chevron, long a target of conservatives who have been motivated as much by weakening the regulatory state as other things like abortion. The liberal justices were in dissent. The case was the conservative-dominated court's clearest and boldest repudiation yet of what critics of regulation call the administrative state, which you might just call big government. When big government decides it can grow on its own, when big government decides it doesn't have to be elected, it can just grow on it, it can just do what it wants to do. You know why? Because we are the government and we're here to help. Oh my gosh. Next thing you know, Medicaid is interpreting the laws or Medicare is interpreting the laws, and then you've got, you know, X number of things that have to happen in order to get federal dollars for road building, and then you've got, how many hoops do you have to jump through for the Green New Deal before you're allowed to, have a farm? And then next thing you know, the waters of the United States are being interpreted to mean the pond that you irrigate your fields with. And then on and on and on and on. Well, they did a number on it, y'all. So when you're having the discussion with someone says, I don't know, I mean, I'm a conservative, but what do I? Well, one of the things you stand for is limited government. You do. If you're a conservative, that's one of the principles. And it's a big, big deal. When we first got elected in 2010 down in Montgomery, when the Republicans took back the state legislature for the first time in 136 straight years and told the Democrats they were no longer in charge, it sent a shockwave through Montgomery. But one of the things that we determined to do was to begin streamlining government. Sometimes it was just a matter of putting them in their place. We passed one bill called the Red Tape Law that says that before you can put a new regulation in effect, you have to do away with two other regulations. We did so many things like that that sometimes they fly under the radar. But it was because we came in with a mission and a mindset, and one of the things that we were determined to do was address the issues of big government. We streamlined departments. We did away with some departments. We didn't refill certain positions. We let natural attrition downsize government. To be honest with you, it was kind of fun. I think they've lost sight of some of that. If you're going to be a conservative, limited government matters. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and Just plain right. Well, all right. I got to catch up on some text messages. Big Rig, it's like we got a list of them, man. We got a flood. We got some flood right now. So let me just jump on in here, and I'll just start picking and going through the list. Tom from Decatur, by the way, did come back when I said that about I can't use the word weird, and I said, yeah, but they're weird. He said, touche. So thank you, Tom. Pastor Barnes from Hartzell says, they have their white dudes for Harris and their NAACP, so why can't we have our NAAWP? National Association of White People? Anyway, okay. I don't... You know what? Here's the thing. I think that's their thing. I think they, liberals, Democrats, they need to have, they got to have identity politics. They can't live without it. That's how they divide and conquer. They keep everybody divided up into little groups. And then if they need to put you off to the side, they can. But if they want to find intersectionalities, they can allow you to be together because you intersect at some point. It's really ridiculous. Gary from Decatur says they have turned the word weird into a very harsh and demeaning acronym that they are using to attack Trump and J.D. Vance. I have no doubt. And they're also using their pronouns, I'm sure. Bruce from Springville says, the need for less government. It allows initiative for the citizens, allows technological superiority, improves the quality of life. Easy evidence, compare it to life in Russia. You know, why don't they ever remember that? They don't. The Soviet Union is like so far distant removed from them. They're like, well, we need more like what Cuba has. Ugh. Have you tried to live in the Cuban economy for a while? Well, that's because of sanctions. They could do better. Yeah, if they weren't communist. Barry from Fultondale says, Phil, I think Biden should be trying to replace some of the 291 million barrels that he withdrew from the Treaty Petroleum Reserve. The article I read said it had not been so low since 1983. What do you think? I totally agree. Kind of off topic. I went ahead and took your text because I'm about to do Venezuela, and Biden has gone to them for oil and gas several times in his 3.5-year tumultuous tenure. But yeah, I mean, absolutely, man. Biden's dumping of the Strategic Petroleum Reserves was there was nothing well thought out. There was nothing. It was purely smoke and mirrors is all it was. Ron from Huntsville, affirming that I had my address correct, he said, you are correct, 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. There it is, 1 Peter 3:15. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that, Ron. David from Huntsville, regards to Stephanie Smith being on, he says, I told Stephanie Smith at one of our meetings, and you personally, I pray for y'all and your family, friends and coworkers. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Jim from Grove Oak, Alabama says, hey, Colonel, I'm secure enough to admit I voted for Obama only because I knew how swampy McCain was. Obama opened my eyes to the sheer destruction and manipulation and gaslighting. Go Trump. Thank you, Jim. Welcome home. And by the way, Jim, what you described there is recognizing that policy over personality is what matters. People who are worried about Trump, I don't know. He's just kind of put offish, you know. He's got some behaviors. I don't think I can do his mean tweets. Do you like Biden's policies? Oh, yeah, it changes things, doesn't it? Policy really matters. Yes, personality is important. I get it. You want to have somebody who on the world stage is not going to embarrass you. They're not going to wander off stage and look lost. But at the same time, what they're going to do in office, their policies, that's where it really comes down. That's where the rubber meets the road. John from Huntsville says, limited government is not only good government, it's also right government. That's almost that may be a t-shirt too. I mean, I feel like I can picture that phrase having like a Minuteman, a militia guy from the Revolutionary War standing next to it. It's just ready. Got his tri-corner hat on. Limited government is not only good government, it's also right government, said the right side ruffians. All right, listen, we're going to jump into a new topic here in a minute. I will tell you this. This is one of those topics that when I look at it, I think we got to be paying attention. Because what happens in our hemisphere matters. I mean, what happens on the world stage matters, but then when you look at it being in your backyard, and picture it that way. Don't try to picture, I live in a small town in Alabama, Venezuela is a whole world away from me. No. Picture the map. Where is Venezuela in relation to the United States? It's our national neighbor. It's down south of us. It is obviously, you know, a South American nation, but it is an impactful South American nation. It is a state of confusion right now. The streets are on fire right now in Venezuela. And Venezuela is ruled by a tyrant in our hemisphere. And then you take a look at things that are happening with our southern border. And the last thing we need is more people believing they need to jump up and run to our southern border because life in their country is too disturbed. And so, just to give you some insight, Nicolas Maduro is a dictator. Not like a little bit. He's like a Saddam Hussein-style dictator. Nicolas Maduro is a disciple of his predecessor, Hugo Chavez, who was an avowed socialist, even communist. Chavez died in 2013 of cancer. Nicolas Maduro is a former bus driver who somehow rose up through the party ranks and became the guy. And he was the successor to Hugo Chavez. Nicolas Maduro is now sitting on going into his third term. They run six-year terms for their president in their society. Nicolas Maduro has got some serious issues with election integrity. Like, oh wow, that's blatant. Well, they just had elections again. And the Biden administration has been flip-flopping and flubbing the foreign policy work with Maduro's government for the entire time they've been in office. I'm going to walk through it with you in a few minutes when we get back from the break. But listen, the bottom line is this. We've got a situation where the Biden administration, I don't think they can find their backside with both hands. I mean, asking them to do foreign policy is like, I don't know, asking a blind man to play baseball and hit the ball. You might swing and hit it. You might not. And the odds are not. But what they've done with Venezuela is just exacerbated the problem. And I'm gonna break it down for you when we get back. But it's got to be paid attention to because this deserves to be an election issue. And if you look at what's happening on the streets of Venezuela right now, it bleeds into the streets of the United States. It does. And it's pretty awful. And it's right here in our hemisphere. It's a national neighbor, if you will. It's right down the street on the world stage from us. It's a place that can impact your oil prices. It's a place that can impact your southern border. It's a place that could impact life as we know it because of some things I'll tell you about here in a minute. But y'all, Venezuela is on fire. And you're not hearing much on the news right now. I caught snippets on social media, so I had to go do research. And when you do, you find all the AP stories and the Reuters and everybody's running actual stories on this, real reporting. But you can't find them if you're just doing what did Fox say today? What's Newsmax got? All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. You guys stay tuned. We'll come right back. Venezuela on fire. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.